Well, praise God. Well, aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Oh, I said, aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Isn't it good to get together with believers of like precious faith? Amen. Thank God for like precious faith. Well, it sure is good to be with y'all tonight. Praise God. It's good to be with family. Everybody say family. I'm going to ask them to put up on the screens Genesis 2, 23 through 24, Genesis chapter 2, 23 through 24. Then I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. And then also when you grab Ephesians, then put a little thumb there and go to Acts chapter 4. One of my favorite scriptures, really, Ephesians 3, 14, 15, and Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Are some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. And so tonight as we start, let's start over here in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 4. And then on the screens there, got it, Johnny on the spot, Genesis 2. Praise God, hallelujah. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, it says this, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family and in heaven and earth is named." Everybody say family. "The whole family in heaven and earth is named. I bow my name or bow my knees to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Then Acts chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24. "And being let go," this is Peter and John, "they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice unto God with one accord and said." Notice it said they went to their own company. And then in Genesis chapter 2, and I'll just flip over there. We'll do Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, and we'll also do 24. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. In verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Father God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the truth of your word. Give us divine impartation and divine revelation knowledge tonight by your spirit. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. You know what it said? There are two things in life you can't do by yourself. There are two things that you cannot do by yourself. You cannot do family, and you cannot do Christian by yourself. Let me say that again. I didn't get a lot of amens out of that one. You can't do family by yourself, and you can't do Christian by yourself. See, we are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. We are the army of God. And we were created as believers to dwell together and move together and be together. I hope you like me because we're going to be together. If you don't tell me. I just think you like me. I'm here to tell you, I love my family. I love my wife. I mean, I could eat her up with a spoon. I mean, I love that girl. I mean, she just cranks my tractor. I love that girl. I'll have to preach over here. I'll be drawn to that girl. I love our kids. I love our grandkids. I love spending time together as a family. I love having fun as a family, hanging out as a family. See, God created us, and he ordained us to have relationships, and those relationships were the body of Christ in the church and in our family. And one of the things we have to realize about God's plan for family and God's plan for church, when God has a plan, he always blesses that plan and he always gives the anointing to carry out that plan. Amen. See, you have to realize that today the blessing is on the church. Yes. You want to go where the blessing of God is, the family of God, come to one accord, come to your own company, come to your church, because that's where the blessing is. You want to get blessed? I mean, every time I get with my wife and my children and my grandkids, we are blessed because he said, be fruitful and multiply. He brought the husband and wife together and he blessed them. He pronounced a blessing on the family. He pronounced a blessing on the church. He's ordained those two institutions on this planet.
Amen.
If you want to know what really drives me and what I have a passion for as a minister, what I have a passion for as an individual. I have a passion for the local church, and I have a passion for the home and the family. Well, it's good I'm a pastor, and it's good I'm over married life. Amen.
Amen.
But I mean, I have a passion for it. I mean, I get up every day thinking about the church, the local church, thinking about the body of Christ, and thinking about my family and how that family and all that works together as one. And see, the thing you got to realize, when God brings a blessing and He pronounces the blessing, then He gives you the anointing or His Spirit to carry out the work that's on that plan. I'm here to tell you, when believers get together, there's an anointing to accomplish the work, whatever that work is. Tonight, there was anointing here. The Spirit of God was here as we were praising and lifting up His name. Amen. I love to sing in the shower. I love to sing in my car, but there's something about coming to church and singing with everybody else. Amen. You come together and you begin to lift up and sing together with people who are actually anointed to lead praise and worship. And then you come together, all of a sudden, the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens from out of your life, it shows up. But it's because we came together. Amen. And it's because God blessed it and called it and ordained it and set it apart to happen that way. Same way with the family. These two things are blessed and they're anointed of God. And when you look at family and you look at church, it's all centered around the word relationships. How many of y'all have relationships? You know, we all have relationships. But one of the things that we have to remember that God provided family and church to have relationship. In a relationship, there's an exchange. You know, when I first married Paige, I wouldn't say I was a slob, but I wasn't exactly very neat either. I mean, you know, if I left something on the floor, well, that was okay for a while. But now my wife has rubbed off on me. I have a relationship with her. I have this compelling need to, when I put my underwear and my socks and my clothes on the floor, I have this compelling need to pick them up and carry them to the laundry room and put them in the washing machine. She's rubbing off on me. I have a relationship with her. I never used to do that before I had a relationship with her. Floor is good. But see, God called us to have relationships. We are designed for relationships. Relationships define us. They grow us. They challenge us. They strengthen us. And they bless us. You know, one of the things I've always told my wife, I said, one reason I was attracted to her, because she challenged me. She's a challenge. I mean that in a good way. I want to go home tonight. No, she challenged me to be a better man. She challenged me to be a better husband. She challenged me to be a better father. She challenged me to be a better believer. And hopefully, I challenge her. But together, sharpening each other, somehow in 10 years, I have grown. And part of that growth is because of that relationship with that woman. Relationships. I would say this, my relationship with my wife, it helps grow me, challenge me, strengthen me, and it blesses me. But same way, your relationships in your family, your relationship in your local church, connecting with one another, coming to church, coming to small groups, married life, healing school, all the different things we do, Bloom, Mighty Men, you name them, fill in the blank, all of those were brought together to connect us and to help us develop relationships. And those relationships, in turn, they define us, they grow us, they challenge us, they strengthen us, and they bless us. Relationships. Thank God our Father wanted to have a relationship with us. And thank God He wants us to have a relationship with each other as a church and each other as a family. I'm going to read some scriptures to you, and I don't want you to turn in your Bible, and I'm not going to ask them to put up on the screen. It would just take too long. But I want you to think in context of relationships, context of being together as I read these scriptures. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 and verse 47. They devoted themselves, that means new believers, to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. Everybody say together. And they had everything in common, selling their possessions or goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together. Everybody say together. Together. In the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes and ate together. Everybody say together. Together. With glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. They came together at church. They came together at home. They strengthened one another. They encouraged one another. And the byproduct of this relationship was is that the Lord added daily to the church that should be saved together. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We have fellowship one with another. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, everybody say together. Together. Sounds like a broken record. Together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together. Everybody say together. As some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Acts 5:4. They met day after day in the temple courts and from house to house together. Ephesians 5:2, submit you one to another out of reverence for Christ. And then over here in Matthew 19, Jesus speaking. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause a man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more two, but they are one. What therefore God has joined together. Everybody say together. Together. Everybody say together. Together. Let not man put asunder, or let not man separate, or let not man divide. God the Father brought his children on this planet to not be separated, but to be together. He put you in a family, husbands and wives and children, not to be estranged and not to be pushed off from each other, but to be together. The devil has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your marriage. He has a plan for every believer. And his plan is to divide, separate, and conquer. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And what he wants to do is separate, divide, and put you away from God's blessing and God's anointing in your life. But you're too smart for that. Because when we come together, there's a blessing. But when we come together, there's an anointing. There's the manifested presence of the Spirit of God together. You know, years ago, Paige and I pastored in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And when we bought our house, we had this great idea that we would put our 6-foot baby grand piano downstairs in the basement. Now, that was not a good idea. Because if you move that piano down into the basement and you leave the house, you got to take the baby grand piano up the stairs with you out of the house. Yeah, come on. Tell me about it. That thing is big and it's heavy. And I'm here to tell you it was a lot easier to get it down than it was to get it up. So when we moved from Cheyenne, what I had to do is I got about 8 guys from our church. And one of the guys in our church, he had this brilliant idea that he'd make a piano board. So he got a really nice piece of wood, a 4x10 or a 2x10, cut it just the right length, drilled holes in it, put these great big straps, wrapped it with fabric. Then all 8 of us turned the piano on its side, took off the legs, wrapped it up, stuck it on the board, strapped it down. And then we started grunting. Together. Over there in Ecclesiastes, thank God I had more than 2. We had 8 of us, and it took all 8 of us to pull it up the stairs. See, as believers, we're never alone. As believers, we were never meant to carry the load by ourselves. We were never meant to be disconnected from Jesus, disconnected from God, or disconnected from each other. We were always meant to be connected. So if the devil tried to get at you, he had to go through everybody to get to you. And if he's going to get at you, he's got to go through me to get to you. Family sticking together in the love of God and the life of God together by the power of God. Because when you come together, there's an anointing. When you come together, there's power. When you come together, there's ability and there is might. Today, like no other day in the history of man, believers, husbands and wives, have to grab hold of how important it is to draw into each other and not away from each other. Today is the day to come together in spirit and truth and allow the power of God to work in your life as a family and work in your life as a believer in your local church. Today is the day to come together, because today is the day when God wants to operate in His power and see more people delivered, healed, and saved than ever before. But it means we got to come together. And when you come together, it brings anointing on the scene. I wrote this down. God brings us together to accomplish together. And there's some things you'll never accomplish unless you're together with other believers. He brings us together to accomplish together. There are things you may never accomplish in your life without your family or without your church family alongside with you to strengthen you, to help you, to bless you, and to encourage you together. He brings us together to accomplish together. Well, what does it mean to be together? I've been using that word a lot, but we ought to define it, shouldn't we? We ought to see what it looks like, what it smells like, what it tastes like, and what it really is. What does it mean for believers and what does it mean for a family to be together? Flip back over in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. This is a scripture we looked at earlier. And in Acts 4, like I said, this is a scripture I've looked at for years. I mean, I read it, seems like sometimes weekly, just over and over again. In Acts 4:23, Peter and John, and being let go, they went to McDonald's. Oh, excuse me, I misread that. And being let go, they went to Walmart. I'll get it right. I did go to school. I did go to college. I know how to read. And being let go, they went to their own company. Or we could say being let go or being let out of prison, they went to church. First place they went, they didn't go to Walmart. They didn't go to 7-Eleven. They didn't go to McDonald's. They didn't go to Mickey D's. They went to church. What a novel idea. And they being let go, they went to their own company, their own church, and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. The picture of being together is being of one mind and being of one voice. See, if you're really going to be together in your family and you're going to be together as believers, you're going to have one mind or one purpose and one voice speaking the Word of God together, and then the power shows up. The early church, you know, how many times have we heard Pastor Joel say this? If you want to learn how to be a believer, look at the life of Jesus. If you want to learn how to be a church, look at the early church. Says it all the time. And in the early church, they were noted because, number one, they always spent time together, but they were of one purpose and they were of one voice. And we wonder why they had so much power. You want to see power in your home? Be of one purpose and be of one voice. When Paige and I decided to move down here and to be a part of this church and get our family all together in one spot, we came together, we prayed together, we had one voice together, and it was amazing how supernatural and how powerful it was and how God brought it to pass. I mean, I even get up today and look and go, my goodness, look what the Lord has done. But I'm here to tell you, we got an agreement. Everybody, Paige and I, the kids, probably even the grandkids, even little Benjamin inside, we're all together. We're all believing together. And it's amazing what God did. I mean, I just have to pinch myself. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's the way life is supposed to be. That's the way He designed it to be for you, designed it to be for me, and designed it to be for every family, and designed it to be for every church. But it's in this context of one purpose and one voice. Remember the scripture over here in Romans chapter 15? I think I read this last time I shared a few weeks ago. Romans 15, 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Everybody say one mind. Everybody say one voice. See, God's not into division. He's not into separation. He's not into many voices or many directions. It's one purpose and it's one voice moving together, and it always produces power. It always produces anointing. Always. In the early church, they got hooked in on that and they understood the principle of this one mind, this one purpose, this thinking together. You know, that's why I love the mission statement of our church. Hear life, share life, and give life. See, when you hear life together, you start having the same purpose together. You start hearing that life and you start hearing what God wants to do in your life. You start hearing it together. It brings you together. Now you start sharing life. You start fellowshipping in smaller groups. You start encouraging and sharpening each other. And then now the power of God and the anointing of God's on you because you're hearing life, you're sharing life, you're one voice. And now you're going to give life with one purpose and see the power of God manifested and demonstrated. Amen. Y'all be shouting. Amen. Hear life, share life, and give life. That's what the early church did. In the context of relationships, in the context of fellowship, they sharpened each other. They encouraged each other. They stood together, and they saw the miraculous and the power of God move on their life because they were of one mind or one purpose or one thought, and they were of one voice. It's not Paul, it's Paul and Silas. It's not Peter, it's Peter and John. See, Peter and John went to they called Beautiful, and this guy needs to get healed, and together they said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and be healed. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, but I tell you, God heard them. And they praised God together. Paul wasn't by himself. Silas wasn't by himself. They were together praising God, one purpose, one voice, and the power of God showed up, and bam, they had a revival. All the bands were loosed. Everybody was set free. And the next thing you know, you've got a church right in the middle of the jail, and they're not coming out. The jailer even gets saved. His whole family gets saved. Why? Because you had two believers together in one accord, in one voice, praising God, and boom, you had anointing and you had power. Folks, I'm here to tell you the anointing of God and the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God is not out of fashion and not out of date. He still wants to move today in your home. He still wants to move in every believer, in every church, in every small group, in every place where two or three gather together in my name. He wants to show out and show up. And He does. But in order for Him to show up and show out, there's got to be a couple of things met. You got to be of one mind or one purpose, and you got to be of one voice. One of the things I concentrate on as much as anything as a husband and as a father and as a leader of my family is to get us in one mind and one voice. My wife's talking oven and I'm talking pontoon boat. She's talking double oven, I'm talking pontoon boat, fishing. We got to stop and get in agreement. We got to stop and she said, amen. Amen. We moved in our house in Cheyenne. It didn't have a very good oven. There were some other things that were high on my priority list, and the oven was not one of them. But guess what we got first? Oven. You believe God, get in one accord, the oven comes in. Then you believe God, get in one accord, the boat comes in. Go catch the fish, skin them, put them in the oven, and eat them. Amen. In one accord. See, God the Father designed it that way. Every time the children of Israel would hook up with God with one voice and one purpose and move together, power and miracles and signs and wonders would happen. And every time they would get in division and strife and nothing happened. Good example of good things happening is over here in Joshua chapter 6. New Living Translation, Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 is the story of the children of Israel and Joshua going out and defeating the city of Jericho. Now I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. If you just want to sit there and listen, you can. But Joshua chapter 6 out of the New Living Translation, and I'm just going to read it as a story and let it facilitate. Think about what we've said about God wanting us to be together, the blessing and the anointing. One purpose, one mind, one voice. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. The Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. God's plan. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. Everybody say one purpose.
One purpose.
Everybody say the plan. God gave him the plan. God gave him the purpose. One purpose. So Joshua called together the priest and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant, assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. And Joshua spoke to the people. The 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priest with the horns, and some behind the ark with the priest continually blowing the horns. Do not shout. Do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Now that's a miracle right there. They walked around once a day for 6 days and didn't say a word. Folks, let me give you a little nugget. The reason he didn't want them to say a word because he didn't want them to get involved with anything but the plan. No fear, no doubt, no criticism. Don't you know as they walked around, there are people up on the walls jeering at them, calling them names and all sorts of stuff. I'm here to tell you, the devil will never say anything nice about your wife or your husband. I mean, he's never said a good word about Paige, and she's great. She's awesome, but he's never said a kind word, one, about her. But see, the key is for me not to repeat what he says. Did y'all catch that? See, sometimes there's as much power by not saying negative words, fearful words, doubt-filled words, just keeping your mouth shut. Until the time where you can speak faith-filled words, power-filled words. 6 days, walk around together, 6 days, do this together. Not a single word. I mean, not a single word. That's a miracle in itself. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest again carried the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priest with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the 2nd day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you this city, the Lord has given you this town." And they shouted together as one voice. Verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could, and suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. The walls collapsed. I mean, they sunk. They didn't climb over the walls. They ran straight into the city. The walls didn't fall back. They didn't fall back. No, they fell, bam, because they all spoke together, "Shout, for the Lord has given us the city." When you stand up as a husband and wife and with your children by your side and you shout, "Jesus is Lord over my life and Jesus is my healer, Jesus is my deliverer, in Jesus' name," it's going to fall flat. When you come together and speak that name, when you come together as one voice, boom, power shows up. I don't know about you, but I'm so hungry for miracles, signs, and wonders and the power in my life every single day. But God the Father makes it easy. He says, "Just hook up with me and agree with me. I've got the plan." Wouldn't it have been nice if the children of Israel had hooked up with this plan 40 years earlier? Sure. It was always the same plan. It was always the same plan. Walk around, walk around, walk around 6 times, then 7 times. It was always the same plan. It just took them 40 years to get to it because they were not with one purpose and one voice following God. And it took 40 years to get them there. You know, the thing about our families, the thing about coming together in church is that we get to come together with one purpose and one voice and glorify God. And when we come together and glorify God like we did tonight, then power shows up. Amen. Anointing shows up. Ability shows up. I thank God as a believer, His Spirit lives within me every day. I thank God that there's an anointing in me, an anointing upon me, and it walks with me every day. But one can set 1,000 to flight, 2 can set 10,000 to flight, and when I come together and grab hold of my wife together, then that anointing goes up. That power goes up. I come together in a group of believers, sharpening and strengthening and encouraging one another together. That anointing and that power goes up. That's why church, and that's why family is so important, because God said, "I'm going to give you relationships in the context of your family and your church, and it's going to empower your life." That's His plan. And His plan comes pre-blessed and pre-anointed, and when we hook up with the plan, we see the power of God in demonstration in our lives. I thank God that this church is hooked up with the plan. Hear life, share life, give life. I thank God that as we all move together, giving Him all the glory and giving Him all the honor, and as we begin to continue to move together and sharpen each other and strengthen each other, we will see a great increase in the anointing and the power of God, that corporate anointing. Because there's nothing like getting in a place of believers all moving together with one voice. Because in that environment, God can do anything you need Him to do. When you get together in your house with your family and you pray together and you speak the word together, he can do anything he needs to do in your family. I'm here to tell you, folks, God is moving in your life. God is moving in your home. God is moving in your church. And I'm here to tell you that we're hooked up with the plan, and so are you. And that plan comes pre-blessed and pre-anointed. Speak the word and speak the word together. And as you do, you'll see God's blessing and God's anointing in your home. Father God, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you so much for your anointing. Oh, Father God, thank you. Oh, just stand to your feet if you would and just lift up your hands and lift up your voice and give him praise and thank him. Oh, just thank him. Thank him for all the different people in your life who have helped you, who've strengthened you, who've encouraged you, who have helped you to grow. Lift up your voices and thank the Lord for all that he's doing in your life today. Oh, Father God, we give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we give you praise.